A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time! And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series!
I remember running home from school, turning on the TV to the Cubs game, sitting with my dad to watch his heroes.
Welcome to the World Series Dreaming Chicago Cubs Dreamcast, now hanging out with Obstructed View. We are not affiliated with the actual Chicago Cubs. We're just a bunch of fans who love the local nine and talking baseball, including the 2016 World Series champion Cubs. Good day. This again with me is Jeff, and we are going to commiserate over these past couple of weeks that we didn't have a podcast, as the Cubs have miraculously stayed a winning team. So what do you think of that?
Yeah, maybe Craig Council magic is real.
Or maybe they're just getting lucky and unlucky at very inopportune times, much to our chagrin. But I guess today we can really just catch up on the past couple of weeks of Cubness. There's some slumps that they've had to navigate through, and hopefully some slumps that are going to get busted soon. Take a quick look at our standings, both in the Central and beyond. Kind of figure out what's going on with the Cubs rotation and the bullpen. There's some good and bad with everything, and just silly injury luck with the Cubs and how they're somehow managing to stay afloat. So how's that for a plan, sir?
I love this plan. I'm excited to be a part of it. Let's do it.
Sounds good.
As the spring gave away to summer, past the ivy colored dreams, toward the days that kept us yearning for tomorrow.
Right. So, yeah, we're coming to you on Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day to whoever you know that made a baby, I guess. I actually celebrated with my wife yesterday because they made her work today, which was dumb. But what you going to do about that? Anyway, the Cubs right now are 24-17. They're heading into their series with Atlanta. And actually, Atlanta just lost on a walk-off to the Mets of all teams. So that tells you how volatile and weird baseball can be. I think Ronald Acuna Jr. got picked off of first base twice in that game, which was very rare, but kind of funny. The Cubs are now just a half game behind. They, I believe, have the second wild card. They are just a bit behind said Braves for the first wild card, and they're only half a game behind the Brewers for first place in the Central. And that's after the Brewers have had a more cupcake of a schedule, and the Cubs have dealt with injuries and other bullcrap. So, yeah, your thoughts, sir?
It's been a... I don't even know what to think of how they've dealt with these injuries. I mean, going into the year, Wisniewski was the Cubs' eighth starter, more or less, and he's been pressed into the rotation and looked pretty good. So, I mean, I thought their starting pitching depth was pretty good. I feel like I've been vindicated somewhat in that, but the bullpen has been a shit show, so that kind of balances it out.
Yeah, speaking of the bullpen, There are a bunch of guys that we could probably yell at, but the one that's been a major mystery so far is Adbert Alzolay. He just gives up a home run every outing. And thankfully, on this Sunday, Mother's Day, the home run that he gave up in extras didn't matter in the long run because the Cubs ended up winning. So, yeah, it was just when the Cubs scored three in the top of the inning, you knew that now it's at least temporarily homer proof. And he actually did clamp down and get the last three outs to finish off the 10th. But every now and then, no matter which pitcher it is, whether it's Keegan Thompson on Saturday or some other guy, or, you have to press like Richard Lovelady into action, because you can't pitch Mark Leiter Jr. forever. They just throw a fat pitch and you're just like, well, isn't pitch lab supposed to teach them not to do that? But also you realize, okay, yeah, these are major league hitters and it's very hard to throw a baseball, but you have expectations that maybe for the most part you should not throw a baseball that will be destroyed. And that's just a very, very inopportune set of events that happened to the Cubs that kind of prevented them from winning certain games that they should have won. But then again, there are certain games that they should have lost that they then turn into something competitive or that they actually win, you know? So I guess it kind of balances out in the end anyway.
Yeah, it's just been weird. Like, I felt pretty good about the bullpen going into the season, but I guess with Merriweather hurt, Amade I thought was going to be all right. He's hurt. Actually, I mean, Neris has looked like shit all year, but certainly his track record is much better than what we've seen. So far this year, that Alzolay's been hurt. So it's like basically their top, well, four of their top five, I guess, if you include Leiter in there, have either been hurt or just suddenly, you know,
they forget how to be good.
Caught a case of the suck. So,
but you know, they call him Heart Attack Neris now, I guess, or Heart Attack Hector. And it's pretty much true. Like, there were at least a few times in the bottom of the ninth that the Cubs should have lost, and somehow they found that little smidge of luck that eluded them the entire game. And I don't think there's anything wrong with the process if you kind of think about it, right? Because they're hitting the ball extremely hard. They're just either going right at guys, or they're making spectacular plays, or they're dying in the wind, or something ridiculous like that. Like, Seiya Suzuki should have hit like four home runs that game, and they just kept dying in center field. And it's just absolutely ridiculous how luck has basically eluded the Cubs, yet somehow, some way, they found a way to win more than they've lost. And I think we just continue to count our blessings for that.
Yeah, today's game especially was frustrating. Like you said, it was like a billion, like, you know, 100-mile-an-hour line drives hit right at guys, or on the other side, like, bloop infield singles that Nico or whoever else was making incredible plays on and just missing the runner. Like, it just felt like they were going to line into a triple play at some point during the game, the way things were going.
Yeah, and I think we can't really blame Craig Counsell either. Like, I think when the signing was first announced way back when and they fired David Ross, we were all very surprised, but pleasantly so, because we realized that he is among the best managers, if not the best manager available out there, who I guess isn't named Bruce Bochy, right? But he hasn't seemed to bring the bulk of that Brewers luck with him. That luck has still remained with the Brewers, who the Cubs, by the way, while I was, you know, doing my work trip and we weren't podcasting, they actually beat them in a series and probably should have swept the Brewers as well, if not for another blown save. But you know, that's baseball, you know, you kind of expect that to happen. But I'm just kind of looking at the active bullpen, and you had alluded to this, but a couple of the key guys are injured in Almonte and Merriweather. Almonte had been struggling like to begin the year, and then he finally found a groove, and then suddenly, oh, shoulder doesn't recover as fast, and now you're on the IL. And then Palencia was doing pretty well, and then he's on the IL. And at least Kwas, who came up on Saturday, he did pretty well, and then they optioned him back down. So it's like, if you're looking at the bullpen, you got Alzolay, who's doing poorly for reasons unknown, and you just kind of hope, well, at some point they can make up like a fingernail injury or blister or something and just let him reset in a lower leverage situation in Iowa, right? Or you got Colton Brewer, who's been pretty darn good in the limited opportunities that he's had. Ben Brown, who at some point you hope will be the starter again, but at this point you're just like, maybe he should be the closer. I think you actually suggested that, and yeah,
I've been beating that drum for weeks.
Yeah, I'm starting to believe that
Steele and Hendricks are back, and Tyone, well, is sort of back. Might be good news for the bullpen. So I was talking to a coworker of mine who's a Pirates fan yesterday before the Skeens game, and you know, I was kind of joshing about like, oh, Jared Jones, you know, is he cooked now? And he's like, you know, whatever. But he was like, who the hell is that Ben Brown guy that you guys pitched? That guy was incredible.
Yeah, so he's good. So we got Brown, and I think Wisniewski is now relegated to the bullpen with, you know, a full five. Wicks is still injured, but he's probably going to come back at some point, and then Hill's going to slot back into the rotation. But at that point, do you bump Assad out of the rotation? Do you bump Hendricks out of the rotation? Do you go with a six-man rotation? Because, you know, Steele is coming back. He had one decent-ish start and then one blow-up start in that Pirates game that the Cubs actually did end up losing. Although they made it very interesting, and it was kind of frustrating. But, you know, at that point, you're just like, well, if they win, this is gravy. But I totally understand if they lost, right? You got Heart Attack Neris, got Lovelady, who probably should never, ever pitch to a right-handed batter again. You got Leiter, who cannot pitch every day. And then you got Keegan Thompson, who looks okay for a little bit, and then he gives up like a three-run homer. And it's like, what the hell are you even doing, right? So Council has a lot of very tough decisions, especially since he has to try to keep these arms fresh. There's only so many guys you can bring up and down. You basically, at this point, have Luke Little and Jose Cuas. And apparently, for whatever reason, I might have missed this during the Rule 5 or something, but there's Michael Arias and Porter Hodge. They have been added to the 40-man, but I don't think they're anywhere close to ready. And then Smiley's on the IL still, so who knows when he's going to be ready. Like, there's depth in there. They're just all hurt or they're not ready. And so there's very limited options that they have at this time because it's not even June yet.
Yeah, it's a tough road to hoe, that's for sure. I will say about that game on Saturday, like the fact that the Cubs drew six bases loaded walks and didn't win the game is just absolutely insane.
Yeah, that's a goofy bullpen for you. Like, I think it's extremely difficult, even if you have a top-notch closer. Like, even Mariano Rivera blew a World Series, right? Like, we all saw that game because we're old. But it's not like they will always be on. But you would hope that they would be better than they are. But then I was looking at the BREF. They haven't entered Sunday's win yet. But if they're 24-17 and their Pythag is only at like 22 or 23, they're still outperforming Pythag. So you kind of imagine now that a lot of the guys are coming back in the lineup, they're getting their work in, they feel good. Even Morel, who potentially hurt his knee, is still in the game. He's hitting a two-run homer. You know, like the guys are playing decent defense. Dansby's hurt, but hopefully he comes back after this, you know, next 10-game stretch and figures out his stuff again, because like he's been slumping. Ian Happ's been slumping. So this, again, like we keep saying this, but this team is not in its final form. And the fact that they're not in this their final form for so long and they're still 24-17, absolute blessing. Like I am thrilled to tears. I expected like a lot worse record given how many people complain about the bullpen or people leaving men on base or inopportune strikeouts, et cetera, et cetera. You're still 24-17. It's like a reason to be happy about this team.
Yeah, like I was saying, like the bullpen may be sponsored by Tubbs, but overall, I think I give this team a pretty good grade.
If it were up to you, do you bump one of the guys out of the rotation or do you go six man? Because I don't think all of them will be able to go five innings plus every single time. So in a way, you are kind of stressing the bullpen. Like, do you go five man? Do you go six man? Or do you go five plus hybrid day?
I mean, I mean, the six man that I think of would be five plus hybrid day, basically. So it's like, still can't really go deep into games yet. So, you know, you got to keep either one of Brown or Wisniewski fresh just in case. for those games. So I'd probably go five man ish.
Yeah, so you keep Steele and Shota for sure. Tyone Assad, you can't bump him down. He's been pretty good. And Hendricks is back, and he's got seniority, so he's got to start. So I guess your six man can be like an amalgam of Wicks, Wisniewski, and Ben Brown if he's not closing. I don't think they're going to make him close. He seems to be a long man for now. Because I think they want to keep him stretched just in case someone else gets hurt, and then they don't have to ramp him up as heavily again.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it is kind of all the injuries are suck, but it is kind of a good problem to have a pitcher like Ben Brown, who is an asset you could probably put in whatever role, and he would succeed.
Yeah, but Assad can do that too. Like, he used to jump back and forth between the rotation and as a long man back last year. So it's not like it's foreign to him, but he's just been doing so well as a starter, even when he's, quote, struggled. Right?
Yeah. Obviously, Ivan Aga is the team MVP, but Assad is a solid number two on that category. He's just been so valuable for the team this year, especially for a guy that no one expected to even make the rotation coming out of the year.
Yeah, so keeping within half a game and having a pretty solid wild card lead is, again, I keep saying this, but, you know, we're counting our blessings this time of year. Like, in about a month and a half, there will be trade rumors flying and actual trades being made. But for now, I'm guessing you want bullpen first. And I think they've been rumored to be checking in on bullpen. You probably want another bat. And then you can think about the rotation, because the rotation is like super deep. And that's really cool to have at least one thing that has depth that we have actually seen being employed very effectively.
Yeah. I mean, despite the fact that we saw that Luis Arraez trade last week, I don't think any bullpen guys are going to be moved anytime soon. It's just a weird time of the year to move guys.
So that was Marlins, right? Because Arraez was a Marlin before he became a Padre and just annoyed us again. But I feel like the Marlins have pretty much given up. And at some point, the White Sox will probably give up as well. So there is a chance that you can grab some relievers off of them.
I don't know if they have many relievers that anyone would want.
Well, they're underperforming, that's for sure. And that's part of the reason they're doing so poorly. But I think the Marlins still have, like, Tanner Scott, for example. That's one that I would think of. And they probably have a couple other guys. Like, I was thinking back to the Marlins series that they split and thinking, like, it's either the Cubs offense is that bad or Marlins pitching is actually better than you think. So if they can identify a couple of trades without digging into too much of their top 100 prospect pool, that would be fantastic. But that's why you have the deep farm system, right? You got to trade from it. You got to make some hay, break an egg to make the omelet, as it were. I think we should be kind of thankful that Dansby Swanson isn't hurt so bad that he would need more than those 10 days. At least you hope not. And Ian Happ didn't need an IL stint. Say Suzuki is back after the oblique thing after just a month. Cody Bellinger just needed the minimum stay. It wasn't.
Morel wasn't hurt as bad as we might have feared earlier.
Too. Yeah. Absolutely, and he was around to just beat some baseballs to death, so that's cool. Yeah, there's just a lot to be thankful for.
Could it be a hero's moment? Could they somehow find a way? Will they rid us of these ghosts of shame?
Now, let's take a quicker look at the standings. I just have the standings page right now with the wild cards. There are only six teams in the National League that are above 500 right now. And all six have obviously, the playoff positions at this time. The Cubs have a 3-game lead on the Padres, which I guess effectively is a 2-game lead because, or 2.5-game lead, because the Padres won the season series. Annoying, but, you know, it happens. There are 9 teams in the AL with a 500 or better record. 4 out of 5 of them, of the AL Central, has the 500 plus record. So that's kind of unexpected, I guess. Because I think we kind of expected the Twins to take a step back, and they're only just slightly ahead of the Royals by percentage points. The Royals are only about half a game behind the Cleveland Guardians, as well as Twins. So they're all within like a half game of each other for first place. And the Tigers are only like 4 games behind the Royals. So it's kind of interesting how tightly bunched they are. And then you contrast that with the NL Central. Like I think we talked about this, like any of these 5 teams could make hay. And then the Cardinals just suddenly became very, very bad. The Pirates were in first place for like a day, and now they're several games behind. The Reds just lost on a walk-off to the Giants today. It's basically the Brewers, the Cubs, and then everybody else, because everybody else is at least like 4 or 5 games behind the Cubs right now. And that's kind of a nice cushion to have.
I got to correct you on the Twins there. Like, they have the power of the sausage now, so they've got nowhere to go but up.
Yeah. How do they sneak that thing into Canada? They have to have gotten that from a local store, right? Because you can't just pass that kind of food into customs, through customs.
I don't think that one. It's more exotic fruits and stuff that I think they're more concerned with, if I remember right.
Yeah, but it's like an old sausage is going to stink.
I mean, it's a cured sausage. I mean, it's like, you know, they have shelf-stable salamis and stuff like that you'll see at the grocery store.
Oh, I suppose. I guess I should correct myself, too. Like, the Pirates are even further behind than I thought now. So the Cubs have 6 games on the Pirates, 6.5 on the Reds, and 7.5 on the Cardinals. And the Cardinals, actually, they have issues. Like they actually like finally decided we'll be good for one day and beat the Brewers, but they still lost 3 out of 4, and that's why the Cubs are still half a game behind. Some of that is their own doing, but a lot of it is just the Brewers are playing a lot of teams that decide not to be useful on behalf of the Cubs, and that's extremely annoying. But yeah, like you saw that, right? Like was it J.D. Martinez who swung the bat and just shattered Wilson Contreras' arm?
Oh, that's the worst. We were joking about that in softball. I usually play catcher on days that are slower, and the ump had me back it up specifically worrying about that reason.
No, but if you're a softball catcher, they're lobbing it. You're not expected to catch it on the fly.
Yeah, I'm not framing any shots. Like if the ball even goes past the plate in softball, it's usually a surprise. We swing at everything.
No, I used to catch because I coached high school softball or baseball, and you know they needed guys to catch bullpens, and every now and then the catchers has to bat, so I'd get behind the plate, right? And one time I got my glove a little too close and the kid smacked it, and it was an aluminum bat. It got full glove, but it still hurt really bad.
Yeah.
But the glove protected you. Wilson had no glove. The bat went flush against his left forearm, and now he's out for at least 8 weeks because of surgery and healing and all that stuff. So it's pretty rough because I think the analytics guys made him stand a little closer to the plate, and you're just like, well, the catcher's box is in a certain position relative to the two batter's boxes, and you should kind of know how close you're allowed to stand without getting your head blown off, right? But thankfully it wasn't his head, it was just his arm. But you see a lot of, like, Ian Happ does this, he hits guys in the back of the head with his backswing. But
this was on the front swing.
Yeah, this was on the front swing. So full power against that left forearm, and you just can't imagine the amount of pain that he was going through. He was just like rolling on the ground and everything. It was gross.
Yeah, I feel for Wilson. He's a tough dude, and to see him like in tears was like, man, you know, it must be really bad.
Yeah, it's not a good thing for them, especially. You remember did they extend Marmol, the manager?
Yeah, they did, but it was like a courtesy extension because he was going into his lame duck year, so it didn't mean that much.
Like, yeah, so they could still fire him if they wanted to.
They did the same thing with Mike Schilt before they fired him also. Yeah. So.
Because isn't the GM also a lame duck? So they're going to clean house at some point, and that means, like, at some point, they're going to bring back, like, Yadier Molina to manage and, like, Adam Wainwright to be, like, the pitching coach or something like that. Just bring the band back together.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if they got rid of their GM. You know, aside from the fact that he's had a pretty good track record in previous years, he's also done a pretty good job at managing upward. So I think he's got a lot of protection in that sense from just being buds with the owners. That it'll be a lot harder to fire him.
I think later on, as the season goes along, like, we know that just based on the schedule, we'll see these Pirates again. We'll see the Atlanta Braves coming to town as well. So it's like Pirates, Braves, in very short succession because of this weird schedule. So we get like half the games with the Pirates out of the way already. And then at the end of the month, finally go and see the St. Louis Cardinals again and the Reds for the first time, I believe. So this is the first time by the end of May. So there is an off day after the next Pirates series, which is at home at Wrigley Field. And then after the off day, they had got to deal with Atlanta again. But it is good to have these off days to just be able to catch your breath and maybe re-stagger the rotation. I think Shota and Tyone are going Monday and Tuesday. And then Wednesday is a TBD because I don't know why. Like, I don't know if they're trying to move Steele back or Hendricks back or something. But Hendricks already started on Sunday, so he wouldn't go again until at least Friday. So I guess they're just trying to figure out who they want to do it on Wednesday. Either it's going to be an opener. It might be Ben Brown, it might be Wozneski, or they'll...
Yeah, it might just be whether they use Wozneski in relief or not in the next few days.
Yeah.
Otherwise, so it's probably him, I bet.
Yeah, because they have to see how long Shota goes against an actual good team. I think he's faced a few pretty good teams already, so it's not like I'm making fun of those guys, but... The Atlanta Braves are legitimately a very good team. I think we can all agree on that. So this will be like first test.
Yeah, I think for me, it's less the quality of competition than weather for Shota. Yeah. Like, we'll see how good he looks when it's not 50 degrees and pouring rain.
Yeah. So
he's looking to the road too.
Yeah, he went 6 against Colorado. He went only 4 against LA because of that rain delay, right?
Yeah.
So, and then Seattle, Miami, Boston, the Mets, and the Padres. Like, I would wager that you can say 5 out of 7 of those teams at least are considered good teams. So he's showing these results against very good teams as well as dominating the kind of really bad teams. So that's good. It is a very good signing. I'm glad we have him.
The beauty and the history in this cathedral. The sky so blue against the grass so green. Like time stood still forever.
The love of... Are you still using your MLB TV to tune in?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So this weekend was actually free weekend. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday was all free. I don't know if it was just a Mother's Day thing or they had like a weird promotion. I'm guessing it's for Mother's Day, which was nice. But I was kind of thinking it was funny because I'm in the San Francisco Bay Area. I'm going to watch the Cubs, you know, actually win a game. And then I saw on the scoreboard that Cincinnati and San Francisco were tied. And then I realized, no, I can't actually tune in that game because I'm blacked out here. So I had to follow it on game day, which was kind of funny. Like, this was the one time I actually did not piggyback off your account. Thank you, very generous. And I was not allowed to watch the local game because of blackout restrictions, which I hope they take care of eventually. But yeah.
Well, you do have an advantage in that, you know, if you're blacked out of a Giants game, you can tune into the radio and get John Miller, who's my favorite radio guy other than Pat Hughes right now. So, yeah, I'm only blacked out from the Rockies and Diamondbacks. So, not a lot of Rockies games that I'm really itching to tune into.
So, you got Dwayne Kuiper, of course, Dave Fleming, Mike Kruko, Willie Mays. When is he on? Ooh, Hunter Pence is on too. Let's find out. Okay, he's in the broadcast booth on KNBR Radio, NBC Bay Area, and NBC Sports Bay Area. Kuiper is on TV. I think they kind of switch back and forth just based on this.
Yeah, he kind of does some of both. I don't remember what show he's on. It might have been Starkville or some other show. Like, they interviewed him, and like I got to listen to John Miller just tell baseball stories for like 5 hours. I've been happy.
Yeah. Yeah, he was one of the voices along with Kuiper. No, I don't think it was Miller. John Miller might have been on the ESPN games. So on the MVP 2005 on EA, I think they actually used Kuiper and Kruko instead.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, John Miller was with Joe Morgan for many years on the Sunday night games back at the Fire Joe Morgan days.
Yeah, but they did a very good job, and it's like, you know, it's very obvious why he's Hall of Famer. I do like that they have Pat Hughes on Sundays, so I got to hear him instead of, you know, his replacement on the radio.
Oh, today it was like the best possible combo of people in the booth between him and JD, and Elise is great too whenever she's on the show. Yes.
Her stuff. Yeah, she definitely knows her stuff. So that's really good. And, you know, at some point, Marquee will figure their stuff out and, you know, just tell Book, hey, no more stories, just call the game. Because he's pretty good at doing that. He just needs to stop talking and actually call pitches. But today it was Pat. So, you know, the game flowed as smoothly as you can hope.
Yeah, he was a lot punchier today, too. I remember when it was last week or 2 weeks ago, we were talking about how like he's much more stayed with JD and was playing more of a straight man. And, you know, so then today he's busted out all of his, you know, pitcher last day jokes and all that other fun stuff that I've used to see for the radio. So I was real happy to see that. Well, hear that, I guess, technically.
Yeah. You saw a shot of him every now and then, like the three-person booth with him and JD and Elise. And, you know, at least they don't talk as much as Joe Girardi, and they don't segue to random stories that nobody cares about. I just want to see what's going on, you know?
Yeah, I just love that he basically calls the TV broadcast the way he does the radio, right? It's just different ad reads, but otherwise, you know, this feels exactly the same.
Yeah, they don't do the adult diapers on at Marquee, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, we are on Mother's Day. We got another 3 weeks of May, and then the calendar turns to June. June straddles a red series, and then the Cubs will see the White Sox for the first time. And then there's a bunch of interleague coming up as well. So that should be very, very fun. I told you, right, that I'm moving back to Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that'll be at the end of June, early July. So by the time I get back, the Phillies will be in town. I don't know if I'll be able to get tickets right then and there, but it'll be fun to know that, you know, if I wanted to, I could go on StubHub or something and just hop up the L and go. It'll be fun. I think at the very least, we will save a lot more money living in Chicago than in here in California. California is expensive.
Yeah, certainly easier to get to games. Well, I guess it's not too bad to get to Oakland, probably.
Yeah, Oakland's moving to Sacramento for next year because they couldn't get a lease, right? And now I'm just kind of wondering what's going on in Vegas. Like, are they still going to go to Vegas, or are they? Is he just going to have to sell the team and move back to Oakland? I don't know. I don't know what's going on with the Oakland A's. I don't think they plan any of this through very well.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be 50-50 that the whole thing falls apart.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's kind of irritating, too, because they have a better record than the Astros and the Angels, and they're only three games behind the Rangers, who just got swept by the Rockies of all teams. So they're... It's like they're very, very close to contending. This is like major league. You know? they just need a good stretch. They put it all together. And then I don't know. I don't think they're going to go too far. And I feel like they're just going to sell at the deadline anyway. But it's kind of fun to have a little hope that the team's performance can persuade them to just not go to Vegas, which, like, Vegas shouldn't exist as an entity, but what you gonna do? But I think if the Rays and the A's have their stuff figured out, then by the time the A's move, probably a year or two down the line, if baseball hasn't collapsed upon itself, we'll see expansion. So That'll be a bridge we cross when we get there. For now, I think we're out of things to talk about. The Cubs are doing well. We hope that they continue to do so. Hopefully, they don't embarrass themselves in Atlanta and just continue to stay really, really, really close until Brewer's magic finally runs out and Craig Counsell gets his guys going like the way they're supposed to. Because, again, the team is not in their final form. But yeah, you know, thank everybody for listening. Of course, you can find us at obstructedview.net, where we, you know, talk every now and then about Immaculate Grid and other silly things. Yeah, you can thank Rich Deanna for a theme song and Randall Sanders for pulling the final out call from the 2016 World Series. Any last words, sir?
Just go Pat Hughes. More Pat Hughes in my ears is great, wherever he is.
Yeah, they should just simulcast him on the radio and TV. Like they can have him pre-record radio ads if they need to. But
I'd be fine with that. I'm not a boot guy, so I love it whenever Pat's on the TV. But I'm sad that it means he's not on the radio.
Yeah, we gotta savor whatever we get in Pat's remaining years. He's kind of up there, but he's still going strong. So bless you, Pat Hughes. And go Cubs.
It was more than just a game.